So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. We'll read verse number 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what I want to present to your heart tonight. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm not much. But what I am is God's grace. Especially when I think of what I am today spiritually, saved by the grace of God. We preach to others, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. How often as Christians do we forget the wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus, as we sometimes say? We read that verse, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And it says, you know the grace. And I sometimes say, Lord, I don't know it. I'd like to know more of this grace. I'd like to know more of God's mercy and God's grace that ever got a hold of a sinner like me. And I hope that every one of us can be filled with this great desire tonight. I am what I am. By the grace of God, Lord, show me your grace. You know, as I thought about this verse coming to the meeting then, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. But I was thinking of where it says, by the grace of God. And, of course, when we think of amazing grace, we think of John Newton, don't we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less years, no less time to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. And we might be able to sing Amazing Grace down here, but when we get home to heaven, we'll say, you know, we didn't know anything about grace compared to what we see up there, because through the endless ages of eternity. Ephesians chapter, the whole book of Ephesians is a great book to get a hold of. I commend it to all of you young brothers and sisters. And you're going to find there the repeated references in Christ, in him, in whom. And I encourage you to take a highlighter and highlight all of those little references in your Bible. In Christ. And our blessings are found in Christ. And because we're in Christ, we're going to be in heaven. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in a practical, spiritual sense. I mean, in a positional sense. But in a practical sense, one day, we're going to find ourselves in heaven, in the glory. And it says in chapter 2, that in the ages to come, he's going to show us the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And I sometimes contrast that to the poor man who listened to Paul preach one day. And as Paul preached to him of judgment to come, he trembled. And I sometimes think that our whole world is divided into two categories. Those who are going to enjoy the riches of his grace in the ages to come. Ages, I mean, not just the years, the ages, age after age after age. And God is going to manifest more of his glory and more of his grace. And then I think of those who don't get saved. That was almost me. I still have some family. I got some nephews who are not saved. One of them is actually in Australia. I think he flew over here today. Up to a beach area. him and his wife and children not saved. Mm-hmm. Josiah and I had supper with one of the daughters a few weeks ago in Melbourne. Over here working for 6 months, not saved. Mm-hmm. And I think of people that we love. And instead of the ages to come of God manifesting more of his grace, it's the judgment to come. The judgment that will never end. So brothers and sisters, may our hearts be motivated to pray as you've been praying tonight and to reach out to those who are not saved because of the awful judgment to come. But we're saved. We can be thankful for God's grace. And so when I think of, by the grace of God, I think of Amazing Grace. I think of John Newton. But you know, it's not John Newton that's the context of this verse. It's the Apostle Paul. And he says, you know, I used to be that. He says in another part, I used to be a blasphemer and an injurious person. And we know his past, but we know what he became. He became one of the apostles and a great man of God. And so when we think of the context of this, we think of, well, here's, by the grace of God, Paul is what he is. And as my mind kind of goes around a bit of gospel work that I've had the opportunity to be involved in, it goes back to the state of Montana, where Philip comes from, and in the city of Billings. There's a young man named Jason. Jason graduated from high school in the east coast of the U.S., practically the east coast. And when he graduated from high school, he said, I'm going as far west as I can, or as far west as I need to get, so I can live the life that I want to live. And it won't be in the face of my parents and everybody else of the Christians around that know me. And so he went out 2,000 miles, 3,000 kilometers west of Montana. Brother Dan Shutt and I went there with the gospel. And we tried to find him. I had never heard of him, but Dan had, because he comes from the east, and he had an address for this young man, and we're doing some gospel work there. Just, we went to a fair, just a home show, like a lot of you brothers and sisters do. It's a great work. And while we were there, we tried to find Jason. We couldn't find him. Then we found out he moved. So the following summer, we went back with a gospel tent. And we put the gospel tent up in the city of Great Falls, of Billings, a city of maybe 100,000 at the time. And we had a new address for Jason. We're going to find Jason. And, you know, Jason's going to come to this tent. And we already knew the end of the story. Jason's going to get saved. You know, that's what we're thinking. Except we couldn't find Jason. Jason had moved again. So then when those meetings were finished, we went about 10 miles, 15 kilometers more to the west, to a little town called Laurel, about 8,000 people. The only person that we knew in that city, that little town, was the young guy called Jason. We knew he was there somewhere. We put up the gospel tent. It was hot like the outback. It was either the first or the second night of those gospel meetings that the grass was brown, dry, crisp. Kitty corner to us was the big swimming pool. And all you could hear was the screams and the yells and the fun of them all having fun in the cold water. And there we were trying to preach the gospel. And it was hot. We were about ready to start, but there was nobody there. And up on the street side pulls this old brown Dodge truck. And a young guy gets out, stocky guy, black pants, white shirt, might even have a tie on. comes over and gets to the door of the tent. He holds out his hand. He says, "Hi." He says, "I'm Jason. Just coming from the funeral of his best friend. 21 years old, who passed away with cancer. He came from the funeral to the gospel meeting." A year went by before Jason got saved, and I remember the morning. He used to come to our house trailer all the time, and he was just our best friend, and we were his best friends. And he came walking in one morning about 11:45, noon hour. Comes in and comes walking across the living room. He says, "Ross," he says, "I just got saved." Mm-hmm. We left the work there. I wasn't planning to tell you this. We left the work there a number of months later. Well, maybe 6 months later. And we get a call one morning at breakfast time, Brother Dan and I. It's from Jason's mom. I've never met her to this day. She said on the phone as she talked to Dan, she says, "I just want to thank you men for going out to Billings because I got a son back." And as I read this verse, the grace of God, it's not even in the context of Jason. It includes Jason, I think, of God's grace in his life. But I just want to leave two simple points with you that's going to come to me this evening as I was driving along here with Philip to get to the meeting. I want you to think of the personal aspect of God's grace. I. And while every one of us can think of trophies of grace, may every one of us forget about the other people. And may we just turn our eyesight inward and have a selfish moment for a little while and just thank God for his grace in my life. Not your life, not his life, my life. I'm not going to give you my testimony tonight, but I'm so thankful for God's grace in my life. I hope that every one of you can just reflect a little bit on God's grace in your life. By the grace of God, I. Don't steer away from reading wonderful testimonies and listening to wonderful testimonies of God's grace in other people's lives. Don't stop doing that. But please, put yourself at the forefront right here. By the grace of God, I am. And your heart will bow in thankfulness when you reflect on what God has done. Not only the personal aspect of God's grace, I want you to notice the present aspect of it. For by the grace of God, I am. What I am. Present tense. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have moved on from the past? You know, Paul, he reminded himself once in a while of what he was in the past, but he never stayed there very long. His eyes always moved heavenward. His heart opened with praise to God for what God had done in his life. And he could look at the present and he could say, yes, he said, even though I'm the least of all the apostles, by the grace of God, I am presently today what I am. When I think of this, I'm so thankful that I'm not what I used to be. You know, we got a brother back home. He got saved when he was 40. He's now maybe 86. I've talked to Philip a lot about him because when he got saved when he was 40, there was true repentance in his life. Everybody in our city of 14,000 people knew him. Almost everybody knew him. Probably the most popular guy in the city. And when he got saved, there was true repentance in his life, and he put a a full page in the local paper, and it's entitled My Story, and it had his picture on it. My Story of Conversion. Bill has not missed witnessing to a person that has crossed his path in 46 years. And I'm not exaggerating. Bill and I have traveled around a lot over the years to visit smaller assemblies. I can remember on numerous occasions Bill standing up to worship on a Sunday morning. And he says, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. And I don't know how many times I've heard him get that far and he break down and weep. Not what I used to be. And then when he composed himself, he said, I know I'm not what I will be. But he says, I'm thankful, Father, that I'm saved. By the grace of God, I am presently. We're not what we used to be. And I'm so thankful we're not what we will be. And I'm also thankful. And you might say, well, why would you be thankful? When I finish my sentence, I'm thankful I am what I am. He said, why would you be thankful for being you? I think a lot of people probably wonder, why I'd be thankful being me. And I got to confess, sometimes I wonder that myself. But when I think of God's grace, I am what I am. When I think of that, there's just a couple lessons I want to leave with you. One of the lessons is, you appreciate who God has made you. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. You are who God made you. And maybe in these days, since the Super Bowl a few days ago, with the football championship back in the States, when a 6'9" Australian was a big star in the game, maybe there's a lot of Australian kids now want to be football players, I don't know. But if you're ever going to get to be like whatever that guy's name is, you're probably something you might have to add on a 20 or 30 centimeters. Some of you maybe not so much, but you know what? Don't desire to be somebody else. Be thankful you are who God made you. So because you are who God made you, don't be proud. Say, look at me. Don't be overly humble. Don't be overcome with a sense of low esteem. Don't be going around with your face in the ground saying, oh, I'm a nobody. You are who God made you. You are a somebody. So don't get proud about it. Don't get down about it. Don't get too down and say, you know, I'm not like her. I'm not like him. You are who God made you. And there's maybe going to be times in your life when you will start thinking like that, you know, oh, man, I sure wish I was whoever. And maybe when you get being used the way God wants to use you, you might be like Saul. You might get big in your own estimation. Well, please don't. So don't get proud. And don't be overcome with a low esteem, because you are who God made you. By the grace of God, I am what I am. The second lesson is, because you are who God made you, and because you are who you are, because I am who I am, here's the lesson. I better fulfill the purpose for which God has made me the way I am. So don't go looking around and saying, well, I really like the way he serves. I like the way she does it. You just look at your own life and ask God to show you what you should do in your life and how God wants to use you. Because you are, by the grace of God, who God has made you. He has made you that way for the purpose he's got for you. And that's why we're all different. Was I supposed to be wearing this?
Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
And so spend a little time with the Lord and ask God, what do you want us, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be in my life for you? By the grace of God, I am what I am. So can I just tell you very briefly what I am? I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm a saint. Apart from that, I'm not much. Well, no, let me change. As I stop to think about it, it just gets better. I'm not only a saint, but I'm a child of the King. You know, people today, they say, well, I'm a Christ follower. I like that way of describing being a Christian. When you tell people you're a Christian, it doesn't tell them a whole lot nowadays. But I like what I hear people saying, and I start to use it again. I'm a Christ follower. I mean, that's what Christians should be doing, right? So when you stop to think that you are a Christ follower, we're following him through whatever he's got for us down here. We're following him. But I want to take your mind to Revelation chapter 19. And John the writer there says, I see heaven open. And a white horse comes out of heaven. And the rider upon this white horse, and he paints the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And the armies of heaven follow him. So I'm not only a Christ follower here on earth, I'm going to be a Christ follower from heaven back to earth again someday. That's who I am. Apart from that, I don't have much claim to fame. And you know something, folks, apart from that, I don't want any claim to fame. If I can just be a Christ follower. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So may you all kind of, I was going to say go home tonight and get before God and just ask God, why have you made me the way I am? I want to be used. Using the strengths you have given me for the purpose you have made me. Show me what that is. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So we're talking a little bit about seed sowers, and it was a great time over in Adelaide. A lot of enthusiasm, a lot of good food, and a lot of texts given out, and a lot of Bible requests, and it was great, great time. So Philip and I, we stayed on another week and helped out with distribution that was remaining packets that had been assembled and weren't given out yet, and we put in another week there. But that's when life got interesting. We left Adelaide and we headed to Broken Hill. As some of you know, we were wondering what Alice Springs, and saner minds, you might say, prevailed, and we canceled Alice Springs, and am I ever glad we did, because I've had enough driving in the outback to do me for this trip. But we went to Broken Hill. And the purpose there was to spend the week and just to give out John 3:16 text to the homes and try to find a place to have a couple meetings. You might think it's strange that a Canadian and American is going to find themselves in the Australian outback trying to have some gospel meetings. But by the grace of God, we are who we are. So we got to Broken Hill, and yes, it was hot. Got there on Monday afternoon, and we looked around at parks, and we found a nice city park and a real nice rotunda in the middle of the park, and a great big tree where we thought there'd be a bit of shade if we needed to use that. We phoned the city, and the city said that we didn't need any particular permission, so everything was kind of first come, first serve. And so we went to the store and we bought a printer and got a ream of paper to make some invitations and I made up a quarter page invitation to glue stick to the back of the text. So there was no bag that we inserted them in, just a little swipe of a glue stick and stuck the little quarter page on the back. And then we had to, like later in the week, had to get another ream of paper, and by Friday noon hour, we had given out almost 4,400 texts, and by Friday noon hour, I was beat. Philip was still going strong, but I was beat. So we had meetings, invitations to meetings in the park on a Thursday night and a Friday night. That was just last Friday. Yeah, it was just last Thursday, last Friday. It seems like a month ago. And so on the Thursday night, there was, I think, eight people came to the meeting. And then the following night, there was seven that came, almost the same ones again. There might have been one or two missing, another new one came. But what was of particular interest to us? Philip had talked to a man during the distribution. His name was Roga, an alcoholic. And he was in the park at the time of the first meeting. And that he was quite certain he wasn't going to come to the meeting. There was another fellow that had just got released from jail. His name was Peter. He got released from jail a few months ago. And he just had recently arrived in Broken Hill. And his jail, wherever it was about 8 hours away, he said. And he'd come to Broken Hill to start a new life. And so those two became friends, and before the end of the first meeting, Roga actually had come up into the rotunda and was listening and hanging out. I mean, there were some cold drinks besides the cold drinks he was drinking that were offered, so maybe that was an incentive too. We had a cooler there with Cokes and Fantas and cold water. So those two men, we formed a friendship with them that night. When we got back the next night, Roga, the man who was somewhat distant, wasn't going to come the first night. He was already there. He was already sipping on a bottle, and he was all apologetic, saying, "Well, I was hoping to get this done before you guys got here." But he was there, very friendly, very open. And when he left that night, he took the Bushman's Guide that you'd be familiar with. He says, "Can I take that booklet?" We had a table with some material on it, literature. And he took that with him. And Peter, he followed us to the car, helped carry some chairs there. We'd gone to Kmart and bought a bunch of chairs and little fold-up ones. And he helped us carry chairs to the car. And when he was saying goodbye, he gave us a hug and said, "Thanks very much." And so that's when we haven't seen those men since. But that's just what happened last week in Broken Hill in Australia. I mention this not to tell you what we did, but to suggest what you can do. And I won't look at anybody in particular, but what you can, you know, what the young, strong legs can do. It doesn't have to be a major seats over event where you got 50 or 60 or 70. It can be four or five young men and a few young ladies if there can be enough to form a little group. Maybe you're going to go 2 hours inland somewhere and you're going to find a place that's got a park in it. And as we're driving through these Australian towns, we're commenting about how many nice parks are in each of these little towns. Prime locations to bring people together, whether it's in the shade of a tree or wherever it might be. It doesn't have to be a building. In fact, if it's a building, you won't get them. You might get the odd one, but not very many. And so I mentioned that just to encourage you young guys here. I mean, it's great to see you, great to be with you. And the not so young guys, I mean, I know you're doing your things and you're all busy, but Australia's wide open. Mm-hmm. Wide open. Who's going to take the gospel to the outback communities? I challenge some of you to get a map, maybe put it up in a hall somewhere. Even of the outback area, it doesn't have to be that far out. Areas along the coast, I know it's a little more difficult working. Pick out some smaller communities. And put it before yourself, before your eyes, and say, this is what we want to do for God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And as I see young men here, and as I've known you, you're great footballers. You can run. You're strong. You can do it for God too. I'm not going to say be a footballer for God, but be a text deliverer for God. By the grace of God. Maybe 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road, if the Lord hasn't come. Some of you look back in your lifetime, and you'll be able to say, by the grace of God, I did what I could. Let's pray.